38. Try to wrap up the chapter tonight, and I don't think we'll have any trouble doing so, but I hate to make promises because you know how it is, right? I say I'm going to be brief tonight, and then, you know, God shows you the truth of the scripture that all men are liars, right? Yeah, let God be true and every man a liar. But to do my best tonight to kind of get to the point and get through the rest of the chapter here, and I hope give you something that'll be a help to you. We started last week kind of running at the theme of God's wisdom. And we're getting through Job here. We're coming down to the end, but now we're looking at the Lord's response when the Lord calls Job on the carpet and begins asking Job some questions. And I want to remind you what we had kind of talked about in the past, how a lot of men will say, you know, when I see God, I got some things I want to ask him, right? What they mean is I'm confused. What they mean is it doesn't make sense. What they mean is some of the things that happen to me don't line up. I don't know why God would allow and why did God let and why would God have done. And when I did this, I thought God was going to do that. And I did this for God and God did that in return. And so they kind of have gotten bitter, arrogant, proud, frustrated, hurt, whatever it is. And so it's like, well, when I see God, I got some things I want to ask him. Well, I'm here to inform you that when you see God, you ain't going to ask him nothing. When you stand before God and you realize that's God, there he is. He's God and I'm not. He's the one that's going to be asking the questions. I think every mouth will be stopped and all the world will become guilty just like that. When we actually finally, for the first time, lay our eyes on true holiness, the holiest thing you're going to look at in this world is a Bible. You realize that, right? Now, if you're born again, you've got the Holy Spirit of God living in you. The day you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. But I can't see that. You know what I'm looking at? Same thing you're looking at, sinful flesh. I'm looking at that dying carcass on the outside. The holiest thing you're going to look at in this lifetime is ink on a piece of paper. And it's not the ink or the paper, it's the words of God. Can you imagine stepping into the presence of Almighty God and for the first time in your life being completely surrounded in true holiness? I don't think when I see that I'm going to be asking him, you know, I just want to know why you didn't and why did you allow and, you know, I got something to settle with you. That's just the most ridiculous thought, the stupidest thing that could ever come out of a wicked man's mouth. And probably more than one of us in the room have said it. But it's stupid. God's wisdom so far exceeds our own wisdom that we don't even know the right questions to ask. I made this point, I think it was last week, and if you ever talk to one of your children, right, when they're little, you realize they don't even know what questions to ask you yet. The questions that little kids ask mom and dad are the questions that they have in their head on their level. Your little child has never walked up to you and said, you know, at 3 years old, teach me how to balance the checkbook, you know. Where should I put my retirement accounts? You know, what's the best way to invest? What stocks are trading at? What? The little kids, they don't even know to ask those questions. You understand what I'm saying? Unless you put that stuff in their head and they're parroting to try to make you think they're smart, there's no way a kid even knows to ask a lot of the questions. And that's just a silly little illustration when you think about you and I in the eyes of Almighty God. When you think about who we are compared to him, we don't even know what questions to ask. I mean, man's still trying to figure out where man came from, right? And nowadays, we got some pretty smart people out there, don't we? And science can do so much, and it can do a lot. I'm pretty impressed with what they can do with surgeries. I'm pretty amazed at how they can stick you into a machine with an MRI or a CAT scan and look at all your guts and find some tiny little spot on your lung that isn't even the size of an eraser head on a pencil. Even smaller. It's just amazing what they can do nowadays. And yet, with all that we can do, they still can't tell you where you came from. The best case scenario they're giving our children is a theory. We're going to give you the theory of evolution. Well, when they say we're going to teach you the theory of evolution, what they're saying is this is not a fact. And if you study enough, you'll find out that even those who are supposed authorities on the subject are now beginning to doubt some of what they teach themselves. They're beginning to say, well, there's a lot that we don't know. And if you look at the evidence they get and then the conclusion they come to, And you go, wait a minute, I'm trying to make the attachment between the evidence that you're showing and the conclusion you just gave, and there's just a whole lot of supposition in here. There's a whole lot of just made-up stuff. There's a whole lot of, you know, guesswork going on, and even brilliant minds in that arena argue with each other about what the truth is. We looked at space as we're going through Job, and God's asking him questions about space. Well, you think man's really smart. You think man's really got the answers, right? We put a man on the moon and we're trying to get to Mars and all this kind of foolishness. I mean, we really think we're something special. And yet, it's shocking how little we actually know about outer space. Go pull up NASA's website. See what the brightest minds with all the money in the world have to say about what they know about what's out there. They say they don't know. They say there's black holes, massive black holes in their knowledge of what's out there. We put a man on the moon. So what? Somebody created that moon. We're trying to get to Mars. We got a rover on Mars. Big deal. Somebody spoke that thing into existence. The Bible explains to you how God created all that stuff when it says, and he made the stars also. There's your explanation. He just flung them out there when he was ready to just fling them out there. So, oh, that's just stupid. That's so unscientific. That's more scientific than all the science they're giving you, that's science falsely so-called. There's nothing unscientific about there being a divine creator, a design to the thing. That actually takes less faith than to believe it all happened from a big bang, right? And then just kind of evolved on its own. Science falls apart when it tries to rule God out of the equation. I love science. I'm not against science at all. I love science. But science doesn't rule God out. Good science points you to a divine creator. Your own body. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. It is an amazing thing how your cells rejuvenate themselves and how you survive. I mean, we talked about the fact that this solid piece of wood is made up of atoms that are moving. Wild stuff. We talked about, as we went through Job, the depths and the deep and how very few, I think it was, three total men on two different occasions made it to the bottom of the Mariana Trench and got little to no information. God says, have you walked in search of the depths? As powerful as we are and as smart as we are, or we think we are, we haven't even really made it down there in any kind of a productive way to say we really know what's going on down there. And, by the way, you couldn't walk in search of the depths because the pressure that's down there when you get that deep is like 100 elephants standing on your head. You would explode. But God Almighty said, you descend to hell, I'm there. You make you go out into outer space, I'm there. Everywhere. He's omnipresent. Somebody asked me a good question. They said, well, if God's omnipresent and the devil shows up so many places, is the devil omnipresent? Absolutely not. God's omnipresent. Well, then how is it that we're all dealing with devils? Because he's got principalities and powers. He's got imps. That's what the small d for devils in your Bible. Demons isn't in the Bible. They're called devils. They're little projections of himself. They're little servants of him. They're messengers of him. But he's not omnipresent. The devil's not dealing with you and me and you and you and you at the exact same time. He's not everywhere. Second most powerful being can't do what God can do and be everywhere at one time. God can speak to you in your heart right where you're sitting, and God can be speaking to somebody on the other side of the planet right where they're sitting right now at the exact same time. Well, does the devil know everything? No, the devil's not omniscient. God is. We'll get to this in just a couple of minutes, but God knows what you're thinking in your mind right now. God knows what's in your heart right now. You can look at the preacher and, you know, shake your head and say, amen, and I'm not picking on you for doing that. I like it. It encourages me, but, and be faking. And if you're a good enough con man, you can fool the best of con mans if you're good enough at what you do, a little bit of time and experience, but you can't fool God. God knows what's going on in your heart. So one of the brethren asked me, he said, well, okay, if God's omniscient, he knows it all, and the devil's so good at getting after us in a particular way, is he also omniscient? Does he know what's going on in our heart? He's not omniscient. Only God is omniscient. But you know, he's pretty wise. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. He's wise. He's wise in an evil way. If you've had 6,000 years to study human beings and human nature, and know how they are wired and how they work, and there's only, according to what the psychologists say, something like 16 different personality types, right? Generally speaking, if you generalize all the personality types, I think there's only 16 different ones. Well, now, how hard would it be to master 16 different personality types? I mean, if you had 6,000 years to study them, to watch them mess up, to watch them fail, to watch their daddy, their grandpa, their great-grandpa, their great-great-grandpa, their great-great-great-grandpa, and know what runs in that family line. Know what particular weaknesses they are, whether it's dope or alcohol or fornication or adultery or what runs in that cursing, swearing, bitterness, anger, violence, what runs in that family. It wouldn't be that difficult for you to figure people out, would it? But he ain't omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know what every one of you are thinking. God does. I mean, the second most powerful being in the universe is nobody to mess with. The Bible says, and we're going to get to it in Job, he says, lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more. Preachers will say, if I had a devil my size, I'd whoop him. That's a dumb preacher right there. Somebody contacted me not long ago and said, hey, how do you handle, you cast out demons? I got a buddy who's possessed, you cast out demons. I said, brother, no. But I know somebody who can and does. We ain't drinking poison, handling snakes, and casting out demons in here. If that's what you're looking for, you got the wrong place. Now, if somebody's got a problem with that stuff and they need help, I know one that can help you. And I told him, I said, listen, I can't help your friend unless he wants to be helped anyhow. You can't bring him into me and I'm going to be some kind of miracle-working preacher and I'm going to come out of him. You know what I mean? That's stupid stuff, man. That doesn't make any sense at all, scripturally speaking. I can't find that in the Bible. I'm not an apostle, are you? I'm not Jesus, are you? But I know one who's powerful enough to take care of him. That man wants to hear the truth of the gospel and wants to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. Jesus Christ can help him with anything that's got control of his life, whether it's dope, alcohol, fornication, adultery, cussing, your past, anger, bitterness, wrath, strife, envy, no matter what it is, Jesus Christ can help you if you'll get saved. I can gabble with all that stuff. Who am I to say whether he is or isn't possessed? God knows. You see the point I'm making? God knows. God knows so many things. Folks, he knows the answers to the questions, and we don't even know the questions to ask. Job 38. Picking up where we left off last time, God says in verse 34, canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? No. I mentioned to you that they were saying that they can control some of the conspiracy theorists. Whether that's true or not, I'm not into that stuff, okay? You hear me? I'm not into that stuff. And I don't plan on getting into it. It bores me to no end. You can't prove it, and it's just fodder for the flesh. It's just fodder for the evil surmisings of the mind. I don't care. I'd like to learn more about Jesus Christ. I'd like to learn more about my Bible. I'm not interested in conspiracy theories, but I've had the conspiracy theorists, you know, they're creating weather patterns to try to use the weather as war and all this kind of junk. Okay, well, whatever. Even if they are, the same guys are saying it's causing great destruction to the environment and all this rest of this stuff, and that's why the bad storms are coming and all the rest. Okay, you ain't God. And even if man is starting to mess with some of that stuff, they ain't God. When God handles it, he handles it right. Can you personally walk out there and call up the clouds? Lift up your voice to the clouds and have abundance of waters cover you? You can't control that, can you? Now, come on. You live in Michigan in February. If you could control the clouds, you would, wouldn't you? It'd be like time for sunshine. The new name for Michigan would be the Sunshine State. Amen. And our logo would be, we'd be sticking our tongue out at Florida. Sunshine State, not as hot. You can't control it. God does. Look at verse 35. Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? You control the lightning? No, you can't. Do you know for 26 centuries there was no way a man could even argue this verse? 26 centuries. Franklin and Bell were a couple of guys credited to starting to harness electricity. So there's your closest argument for saying, yeah, man can, we can, we don't need God, look at us. 26 centuries after God said, can you control lightning? They're starting to figure out how to play with it, how to mess around with it, how to harness it. And I'll point it out to you again. Every time man starts to play God, great evil comes from what man is doing. I've read stories of guys get their hand blown off by getting zapped by too much electricity. My uncle, when I was a kid, he worked for Conrail or something like that. He was an electrician. He was in a tunnel somewhere. He got hit with, I forget how much electricity. He got thrown 100 feet. He was black, man. His arms were black. It ran straight through him and kicked him off. Sometimes it'll grab him and it'll hang on him and fry him, if my understanding is right. I'm no electrician. But sometimes it'll throw him. It hit him and just shot him, just threw him, man. He was in a bad way and blackened him up. Lightning's dangerous. Lightning's scary. So now we got some kind of control over the electrical grid, and then God sends a snowstorm through Texas. Here we are trying to save the world, save the environment, and all their wind turbines are shut down and froze up. Talked to a couple different preachers this week in Texas. They're laughing. They're like, here we are, all this green, go green stuff, and now all our wind turbines are frozen and nobody has electricity. And you know how easy it would be for God to shut it down with a little bit of snow? We think we're something, don't we? Let me ask you a question. How much good has come from electricity? Well, some. I am thankful that I can turn on lights at night, aren't you? I love heated seats in my car. I'm all for that. But you know, there's a lot of bad that's come from it too. You know what you are? You're so plugged in nowadays. You're so plugged in. You plug everything in. You're plugged in when you're not even plugged in. You can plug it in and charge it up and then unplug it, but you're always plugged in. You know there's things going through this room right now in the air. You know what Lucifer is, according to the Bible? He's the prince and the power of the air. God says, I send the lightnings and I tell them and they say, here we are. They answer to me and I send them where I want them to go. That's God. Man's trying to plug into that thing and mess around with it, and a lot of damage has come from all that stuff. You know what? I'm still old school, and I'm sorry about that. I'm not an old man, but I'm old school. The internet has caused more damage than it's ever done good. Now, I'm not against posting sermons on the internet. I'm not against posting, you know, the videos on the internet, whatever else. I'm not against that. I mean, get the word out, whatever. But you can't tell me that the good of the internet, well, that's how we get messages out. And, you know, I use my Facebook to try to be a gospel witness and all this kind of stuff. Okay, let me ask you a question. Where was the internet when the Great Awakening swept the world? You understand? Yeah, the first and the second. What about the Reformation? Impacted the world. So this silly argument that Christians make for like, oh, the internet can be used for good. It's like, whatever. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't need the internet to get his jobs done. I'm thankful for it. A lot of you Googled this church. That's how you wound up here, right? Can God use it? It's not a trick question, right? We post our messages on it every week, so I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth. What I'm saying is modern day witty inventions of men and trying to plug in and control electricity and do all these kind of things, that stuff's done more damage than it's done good. You know how much crime has come because of the internet? How many young people were corrupted from an early age? How many people's minds are shot, trashed, garbage? I mean, like I was talking about before we started, the holiness of God. You know how filthy everybody is nowadays? I mean, just filthy. Minds just polluted and filthy, and largely has to do with control and electricity. So whenever man starts trying to play around with what's God's, man makes a mess of it. In Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, I saw Satan fall as lightning. You say, what's that, preacher? It beats the fire out of me. He just said he saw Satan fall as lightning. And the Lord says right here, can you send lightnings that they may go and say, here we are? They answer to God. They do what he says. So there's a connection there between the prince and the power of the air, lightning and the devil. Now, the lightning that's out there that's just lightning from God that brings greenness to the grass and all the rest of that stuff, don't freak out every time. That's the devil. Relax. He said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. Like and as. You remember we've studied that. So it's an illustration. It doesn't say the devil's lightning, but there's a connection there between the prince and the power of the air and electricity. all kinds of filthiness all around you, and all you need is the right device to tune into it. And whatever's in your heart, hear me, whatever's in your heart is what comes up on that device. You punch in there what you got going on in your mind and in your heart. Ain't that crazy? The devil knows right how to tune into your human sinful nature and drag you as far from God as he can. I'm so done with all this stuff. I would come to church, but I just don't have time. You liar. Sorry. Let me see your phone. I wouldn't do this, okay? I would never do this. It's a way overstep. But I want to say, let me see your phone. And pull up and show them how, hey, you spent 5 hours this week in entertainment. You don't have time to get to church? It's very rare that somebody really doesn't have time. Verse 36, we're going to come back to in a minute. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Great question. Or who hath given understanding to the heart? All right, go to verse 37. We're going to come back to verse 36. Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven? Can you count how many clouds there is? Can you? You realize there are clouds that were formed and dissipated before a man or a satellite ever spotted them. And you know what God's saying? I can count them. God knows from the beginning of creation until the present time, and he even knows how many are going to be in the future. He says, do you? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? You know, when God shuts the water off, that's it. You watch, as bright as we are and as advanced as we are, when God shuts the water off out west, it's amazing how everybody starts panicking. All the droughts, what are we going to do? The wildfires. Isn't that funny? How come nobody ever stops to say, look, all we're trying to do to make the planet a better place and to worship Mother Earth and to take care of Mother Earth and, you know, we're all that we're doing, and when the water stops, it stops. I read about a farmer out west back years ago when there was a drought going on. He stuck a sign in the ground on his property that said, you gave us beer and now give us water. I don't make you think, huh? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? Can you shut the rain off? Can you turn it on? Best thing you got, closest thing you got to claim that we're it and we know what we're doing and there is no God, closest you can do is some stupid little conspiracy theory that you can't prove whether it's right or wrong or not, and you can't even prove that the guys that are propagating that stuff aren't sitting in their mama's basement with a backdrop behind them trying to be real smart, really good with the graphics so they can make it look like they're a professional. But everybody believes everything they see on the internet. It's shocking to me. I read an article this week that was talking about African Americans 400 years ago. Did you get that? It's talking about religion in America, African American religion in America 400 years ago. I don't know if that was just a typo or if they really think we've been around that long or what, man. I don't get it, but people are reading stuff. You read it on the internet. Oh, I read it on the internet. Okay. Whatever. How do you even know you're getting good information? You know what you need? You need some wisdom from God. You need the same thing I need, by the way. I'm not talking down to you. I sound like I am, but I'm not talking down to you. You need wisdom from God. God can shut that thing off and turn it back on. Verse 38 is continuation of the same thought. When the dust groweth into hardness and the clods cleave fast together. Boy, that ground will get so hard it's like concrete. I'll never forget years ago in that dry, hot summer doing basement footings, man. Be out there, we'd have to have a jackhammer to get through the clay. Big old 80-pound gas-powered jackhammer. You run that thing down your thigh on an angle, you get it in a little bit, you break it up with your knee, break it up with your knee. That thing gets stuck down there. It'd take a couple guys to get that thing out, jerking back and forth. I mean, laying on that thing, it gets stuck in there like rock. And it just that clay would get so hard, it would break up like gravel. Brutal. Desperately needing water. Nothing you can do about it. Verse 39, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lions? You ever think about nature? What a rough world that is. You know, if you had to go out there and survive off the land, that'd be a lot more difficult than you think it is. Some of us would be dead pretty quick. But I mean, even if you're an expert hunter or fisherman, Do you realize because of the way the nature moves and the way the seasons come and go, even if you're a great fisherman, the time might come when the fish aren't biting anymore, where they're moving out to deeper water because it's getting cold. The birds are going south. You know, just surviving. Nature's a rough place. God says, I supply the lions out there. I supply them the prey they need. You got them big 600-pound cats. Ain't they? They get like 600 pounds plus. Massive things. And they're eating good enough to keep all that muscle mass and stay alive. And God says, I feed them. And the appetite of the young ones, I make sure they eat. God cares. When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait. I love studying lions. I love watching them. I think they're interesting. Verse 41, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. God says when the ravens, you know in your Bible, a raven's a type of an unclean, a dirty bird, a foul spirit. And God's saying this, he's saying even those unclean birds, those ravens, when they're crying because they're hungry, I hear and I know. And I supply them food. Can you? It's a funny thing, you know, you pay attention to you know, habitat and Humane Society and all that stuff. We can't even stop the problem we have ourselves with the way we treat our own animals, our domesticated pets. It's a crisis. It's terrible. You want to cry, man. You walk in there and look at some of these animals, the way they've been treated, the way they've been abused. I mean, I believe in saving the pit bulls, euthanizing the fighters, you know, the guys who fight them, the owners. You getting it? I just, that stuff just drives me crazy, man. And our societies, we're so advanced and we're so great and we're so educated, we can't even take care of animals, our own. God says, all them wild animals all around the world, I feed them. Back to my point the other night, if natural selection was true, then why do feeder fish exist? If natural selection was true, there should be no feeder fish left. Survival of the fittest? Them whales come up and just swallow them. Boom! God goes, oh, there went 10,000. I'll replace them. Why? So I can feed the whale. You got wisdom? You know something? We can't even figure out how to unpollute what we're polluting. Now grasp that. Think about that for a minute. We can't even figure out how to stop our own pollution. If it's even really the problem they're saying it is. I'm not taking a side either way. I don't know. I don't have a degree in all that stuff. I don't study at all. I got no idea. I don't even care. I know who I'm serving. I know what I'm about. This is what I'm supposed to be a student of and dedicated full-time professionally to right here. I don't have to worry about all that stuff. My job is to show you this is the authority. He's got the answers. This world's never going to give you all the answers, and mankind is not the solution to mankind's problem. God's the solution. And as long as mankind continues to reject and walk away from God, they're going to go farther and farther downhill. And that's you too. That's me too. We can't sit here, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I was born again. I believe the Bible. Hey, hang on a second. When you walk away from God, you go downhill as well. So before we criticize the lost world that's already rejected Jesus Christ and kicked him out of the schools and kicked the Bible out and all the rest of that stuff, before we criticize them, let's do a gut check on ourselves tonight. How are you doing in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? First of all, you got to have one. And if you don't know what that means, if you've never been saved, then don't leave here tonight without saying, I need to talk to you. I'll show you what the Bible says about being saved. That's number one. And then once you've been saved, you better make sure you're walking with your Savior. Now, I want to circle back to verse 36 and spend the next few minutes here. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? So we've talked about God's wisdom in outer space. We talked about God's wisdom in this world, in nature, and we finished that up this week. And then we're talking about God's wisdom in the heart of man. That's tonight. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given him, given understanding to the heart? I want to run a couple of verses with you. Go with me first, if you would, to Psalm chapter 19, please. If you can find it quick, if not, I'll read them to you and just try to ask God to give you what you need out of it. But I'd like you to see it if you can. Psalm chapter 19. heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So what he's saying is, the heavens, that's what you can look up and see. That's not the third heaven where God dwells. That's the outer space. You see the stars at night, where the sun is during the daytime and the moon is at night. And then you got our heaven, the firmament right above us, where the birds fly and the planes fly and all that stuff, where the clouds are. God said, the heavens declare my glory, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, every day, it utters speech. And night unto night, the stars, the moon, shows knowledge. Then God says there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So here's what God's saying. I speak to everybody on the planet every single day. I talk to everybody. You ever had somebody ask you, well, what about the heathen that never had a chance to hear the gospel? How could a loving God send them to hell? And that just doesn't make any sense. And when I see God, I'm going to ask him. Like, okay, tough guy, go ahead. When you see him, you just step right up there and you just be that bag of wind you are right now. Because when you see God, you're going to melt. You're going to realize you didn't even know what questions to ask. What about the heathen? Great question. God said, I speak to every one of them. Ain't it a funny thing that they'll bow down and worship a rock? Ain't it a funny thing that they pray to the sun? Ain't it a funny thing that the ancient Greeks had entire storylines of which gods were married to what gods and which ones killed which and which one committed adultery and stole the other one's wife and this, that, and the other thing and the sisters and the brothers and all this kind of stuff and this is the sun god, the moon god. They had all these stories about where you came from and they pray to these gods to bring the rain and to bring this and bring that. Ain't it a funny thing that based on nature, based on what they saw, they knew they needed to worship something? Ain't it a funny thing that some heathen in the jungle somewhere that had never had an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ believes something made it and they need to pray to something? It's only educated people that got brainwashed in a school somewhere that would actually go so far as to say, I need to worship absolutely nothing and there is no God. But instinctively and naturally, men everywhere recognize something had to create this. Nobody in their right mind gets in their junker when they want to upgrade to a nicer car and runs at 100 miles an hour down icy roads right off into the closest oak tree thinking that a big bang is going to create some kind of a Maserati. Right? Not naturally. You have to be taught that kind of thing. You have to be told that. Something in your heart has to want that because naturally speaking, you look up and you know, Mommy, where did we come from? Why is that there? Where did those stars, how did those stars get there? God said, I speak to everybody through all the world day by day. Verse 7, then he says this, he transfers from looking around and seeing creation and using common sense. I remember a preacher once saying this, if it don't make sense, God ain't in it. Grab a hold of that for a minute. But at the same time, if you can explain every little detail about it, God didn't do it. I'm glad I don't have all the answers. And I don't trust a preacher who acts like he does. Every once in a while, it's okay to go, you know, that's a good one, I'm not sure. Oh, great, so you mean you're not God? No problem. Right? I think I got a lot of them. Because I got this, try it. See. I'm not trying to be arrogant about it. And I'm not trying to say we don't have to know. I study like crazy. I want to know the truth. Amen? I want the truth. I'm serious about that. You got the truth. He transfers from looking around at what you see and what God did, his handiwork, to the Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So for those the devil couldn't get with evolution and all the rest of that, he gets at them by making them doubt the Bible. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. See the wise? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's why you got in here and you're singing, love lifted me, love. And you didn't feel like coming. I mean, not every one of you. Long day, brutally, ridiculously, I think almost sinfully cold. Is that crazy or what, man? Woke up, it was a negative 11 in Pinky, man. Brutal. I mean, I found my dog's limit. I told you my short-haired pit bull, I'd never seen a dog that handles the cold like that. I found her limit. She got out this morning, she's running through the snow. It's up in her chest and she's plowing it. Sticks her head under the snow, and runs with her head under the snow. She pops up after a little bit. She looks at me. She pulls up that back leg and starts running on three legs. I'm like, I found her limit. Thank God. Let's go in the house, girl. Brutally cold. Law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You come in here not feeling like it. Got to get up in the morning, and you get about two verses into Love Lifted Me, and all of a sudden it's starting to sound like a Sunday morning in here, better than some Sunday mornings. Rejoices the heart, doesn't it? And then you get into the Bible a little bit, and as long as the preacher doesn't go over time, what happens? It enlightens the eyes a little bit. Get your focus back on what it needs to be on, off of the stuff of this world. Look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. Get you to knock off your foolishness, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. That's why we need the Bible every week. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Boy, that's the truth, man. I was telling my kids recently I didn't want to be a preacher. But it's been the best thing I've ever done with my life. I ran from it for a long time because I never wanted to do this with my life. Never found a preacher that I thought was, you know, a cool dude in the world's eyes. But man, am I happy. I don't want to do anything else now. Keeping them, there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? How many of you know exactly how sinful you are? You ever talk to somebody and say, well, I'm a good person? Okay. All the time. Well, I'm a really good person, and I do good things, and I'm always giving. I help the old lady cross the street, and I give every year when they're dinging the bell at Christmas. I drop in my pennies, and I'm a really good person. And they might be, by a worldly standard. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those who do. Don't swear. Holy roller. Nauseatingly arrogant. Nauseatingly pharisaical. Nauseating watching them look down their nose at somebody who struggles with drugs or alcohol. You ever had people like that, that you've had to help? I have. Some people in this church that had that problem. Bad. Bad. I won't give you their story. They have to give it to you because it's not mine to give. But bad. Shouldn't be alive bad. And you're all, oh, I'm a good person. And they're like, God forgive me, I'm not. God forgive me, I'm not. God, I know I'm bad of a person, I really am. I remember my past. I remember what I was before I got saved. I remember some things I've done I wish I didn't do. Who can understand his errors? Usually the more wicked somebody is, the better they understand their errors. And the more self-righteous somebody is, the more useless they are. The less likely God is ever that God will ever be able to get a hold of their heart. I'm talking about overly religious. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. God, show me where I'm wrong. God, deal with my conscience. God, convict my heart. God, show me. God, who put wisdom in the hidden parts? God, show me the real me. Let me fix my mind. Let me fix my heart. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Those are the sins that just naturally come over you. They're presumptuous. You understand what that is? It's like what you just do naturally without realizing it. You know, I could give you 1,000 illustrations, but I got to keep going here. I want to let you go. Let them not have dominion over me. Don't let my faults and the sins I'm likely to do just run me, because they will. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, there it is again, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Go with me to the book of Romans. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? Go to the book of Romans. Show you a couple more passages, and we'll be done in just about 5 to 10 minutes, I think. See that? I think. Stop my lying in the pulpit, right? Romans chapter 10, look at verse 8. I hate it when I say I'll be done by such time and I'm not. I do feel guilty, so. Romans 10, 8. Watch this. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He's talking to lost people right here. You know what he's telling somebody that's lost? He said the word's real close to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. I mean, look me right in the eyeballs. If you've been around for any longer than 20 years, I mean, you've been around for 40 years and you're going to look me in the eyeballs. I'm going to look at you in the eyeballs. I'm going to say, are you a sinner? And you're going to look me dead in the eyeballs and from the depths of your wicked little heart say, no. Come on, man. I mean, look me right in the face. Have you sinned in your life? Yeah. The word's nigh you. You know you're a sinner. How do you know that? How is it that the heathen I referred to a few minutes ago know it's wrong to take your neighbor's wife? It's wrong to take your neighbor's potatoes? It's wrong to take your neighbor's pigs? Don't kill somebody. How do they naturally know that? Naturally, instinctively. Who put wisdom in the inward parts, or who had given understanding to the heart? He said, the word's nigh you even in your mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. All right? We came from nothing. How do we know? By science. Okay, what's science? Something that's observable and repeatable. I'm just role-playing here, like at the judgment, there's God, there's a scientist. Well, I just didn't believe in you. Okay, why not? I believe in science. Okay, what's science? It has to be observable and repeatable, and I never saw you, and I couldn't repeat what you did. So you saw the Big Bang and repeated it? Are you with me? Well, let me get my textbook. I'm trying to. I remember reading. I know that was in there somewhere, but they updated. This is the updated version. I got to find it. Hang on a minute, man. You put your faith in the fact that I wasn't here. Because that's what you wanted to believe. The textbook was your Bible instead of my word. Who put wisdom in the heart? God. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's Psalm 19. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves, and we call them professors, to be wise, they become fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And you know what you got nowadays? Just that. You got humanism. You got mankind is the answer. Education's the answer. Money's the answer. Politics are the answer. Stamping out poverty. Science. Medicine. I mean, all the medical miracles we can do, and I'm very thankful for them. My daughter was the recipient thereof this last year, and she's going to be again this year. Another surgery coming up. I'm thankful for what they can do. I'm not knocking them. I'm not disrespecting what they can do. I'm telling you, what they can do doesn't trump God. That's what I'm telling you. I don't care what they think. I don't respect them to the point where it's like, well, if the doctor said it, it has to be because, are you kidding me? While he's in there, we picked the best one we could find, the best one we know of, the best in Michigan, right? Phenomenal doctor in that particular surgery. Thank God for it. And then what did we do? We sat in the waiting room and prayed. And we prayed beforehand, and we prayed in the pre-op, and we prayed. We're trusting God. That's what I'm trusting. I'm not worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. I'm not going to bow down to a man. I'm not going to bow down to somebody's intellect. I'm not going to bow down to a dog. I love my dogs. I got two of them, and I love them. I work hard on them. I want them to be good dogs. I still grieve over Sarge. All the time I'm calling Rona Sarge. It's like ridiculous. And every time it's like a little dagger, you know, it's like, ah. Grace does the same thing. Sarge, I mean, Rona. I don't worship some stinking animal more than I worship the Lord. I don't worship this planet more than I worship the Lord. That is a direct result of somebody who pushed away the wisdom that God had given them, the wisdom that God had put in the heart. And the more you push away the light that God tries to give you, the darker you become. Let me give you one more, Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Now watch. Where does wisdom, who can put wisdom in the inward parts? Job 38, 36. God puts it there. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. So he's talking about the heathen. How is it that they know some of these things you do and don't do? They didn't even have the Old Testament law. This is the illustration he's given. He's saying, how do them Gentiles that didn't even have the laws given to the Jews in the Old Testament, how do they naturally know some of this stuff? How do they know what wickedness is? How do they know to shelter their kids from certain people? Where'd that wisdom come from? Watch this. Their conscience also bearing witness. Here it is. And their thoughts. The meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So watch it. God says, in their heart, I naturally put an instinct to know right and wrong. Little kids know when mama says, don't take a cookie out of the cookie jar. And in their wicked little hearts, they know they're wrong. Right? No question about it. I had a little one who you've heard my stories on her, most of you have, but forgive me for a minute. She loved to sneak food, man. She's chronic. She thought getting in the freezer and pulling I had the mint Dove dark chocolates and mama had the regular Dove dark chocolates. She'd get in there, she'd pull them out, she'd eat them, and she thought putting the wrapper back and cover her tracks, you know, chocolate all over her mouth. Climb up in the pantry and shut the door and be in there eating chips out of the bag. I mean, I'm walking by and I'm hearing crunching and bags rattling and lean against the stove and wait. That door pops open and those little brown eyes went boing. So you're dead, girl. How is it that they know, boy? They know. Don't give me this stuff, mom and daddy. Don't give me this stuff. Like, I don't think they know, and they're manipulating you, boy. Their little hearts are smart. I'm not talking about an infant or a toddler. Their little hearts are smart. And what happens? Your heart is too. And your conscience bears witness. That's why you feel dirty. That's why you know, ooh, that was wrong. Oh, I need to get to church. Oh, I need to read my Bible. You need Jesus, girl. You're laughing because some people at work joke around that way, don't they? Your conscience knows it. And then here's what happens. Your thoughts. That's where the battleground comes. It's really easy to lead somebody to Jesus Christ when they already are responding to the wisdom God naturally put in their heart, saying, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I need some help. Yeah, I believe there's a God. Yeah, if you show me what the Bible says, I'll obey the Bible. Man, that's just piece of cake, boy. That's a blessing, man. I mean, that's a blessing. I've had guys come sit down with me. I got a hard case for you, man. I'm a hard case. I'm a wicked man. You think this is hard? You know what's a hard case? When somebody comes there and you're trying to convince them they're a sinner and they don't want to believe it. That's a hard one to win, man. When a guy will say, yeah, I need some help. I'm a train wreck. Can you help me? Well, I don't know what I can do for you, but I know somebody can help you, and I'll be glad to be his instrument. Easy. You know what the problem is when that debate goes on in your mind, their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. That debate starts going back and forth, and you start thinking it through. Well, I don't know. And it starts to accuse you. Well, yeah, I probably shouldn't have. Well, in this case, it's okay because, you see that? And then that's the war that goes on in the mind. And you know what God's done for you when God created you and God made you? God made you with a hole in your heart, a hole in your soul that is the shape of God. And I don't care what you look for, what you try to fill that hole with, it's never going to satisfy until you know the Lord personally. It's your conscience, it's your heart, it's the wisdom in the inward parts that knows you need something bigger and better than you. And then once you got that, Christian, you know what you got now? And I could go so far in this study, but I'm not going to. We got to move on to the next chapter, and I got to let you go. But you know what you got, Christian? You got the wisdom of the ages inhabiting you. When you're born again, born of the Spirit of God, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, sealed unto the day of redemption, you've got the Spirit of Almighty God living in you and all the wisdom you need. Right here in this book. It's right there. And God will teach it to you. I'm not going to turn to it because I want to let you go for the sake of time. I got more verses to show you. One of them is this. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, if you need wisdom, ask the Lord for it. It's your prayer life. Ask Him. I pray for wisdom to be a husband, and boy, do I ever need it. I'll be preaching some on that this coming Sunday morning on 1 Peter. I'm going to probably put something in my wife's cereal that will make her a little too sick to come to church. But anyways, I'm preaching on that this Sunday morning. I'm just kidding. I'm preaching on that this Sunday morning. Boy, I need wisdom to be a good husband. It don't come naturally. I need wisdom to raise kids. God help me. It don't come naturally. I need wisdom to train my dogs. That's stupid. I don't care if you think it's stupid. I need wisdom for it. I need wisdom to be a pastor. Are you kidding me? I need wisdom to understand this book and lay it out in a way that can help you grab a hold of it. I want some wisdom. And God says this. He said, if you ask of God, He'll give to you liberally and upbraideth not. That means He won't chew you out later. Well, I gave you wisdom, you idiot. Why'd you do that, stupid? That's upbraiding. God says, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you liberally, and I won't beat you up about it. Because you know what? You're going to keep needing it. And I'll keep giving it. You're going to keep messing up, and I'll keep taking care of you, and I'll keep giving you wisdom. All right, I hope that helps you a little bit tonight. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed.